We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And thank you for joining us for another episode of the PHNX Suns podcast brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's top sportsbook app. Don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a five-star review. I'm Lindsay Smith here with Gerald Bourget and Espo. And I just want to put this out to the chat. Like, if you saw two people on this set right now singing Britney Spears before the show, which two would you think it was? And which one would you think it was lame? Like, which one thought it was lame that two of them were singing Britney Spears?
We'll see what the chat says. No hello, governor, today?
No, not today.
That's reserved for royal funeral days only?
Oh, no. Did I really do that?
Yes.
No way.
Oh, dear.
My bad. I did not read the room.
I think you read it perfectly, quite frankly. Nice.
Okay, look. Espo and Gerald singing. Girth too shy for singing. Chelsea says lame. Ain't nothing lame about Britney Spears. This is what I'm saying. It shocked me too, you guys. It was me and Espo getting down on some Britney Spears, having a little duo action over here. Mm-hmm. And Gerald was like, oh my God. Oh my God. I can't believe this.
I actually did not say that.
He said, feels so good to be back.
Yeah. I'm just trying to save my voice.
Oh yeah, that's what
it is. I don't have the range today.
Let's talk about that, huh? Let's spill the tea on
today's
that one.
Today's just a poo-poo on Gerald.
Gerald can't sing Britney Spears. And he can't show up to our show yesterday, but he appears on another Suns podcast. Do we need to talk? I gave you the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, yes, rest your voice. Mm-hmm. You don't have to come in. Mm-hmm. All that green chili damaged your vocal cords. I get it.
Did.
And then I hear you on.
There is such a thing as pre-recorded episodes.
Yeah,
you
sure
guys.
It is. Sure, I see how it is, Bourget.
I think you owe us a Britney Spears solo now. I'm just saying.
Let me get my pipes back, and then we'll...
No.
Gerald,
come on,
you drive
Gerald.
Me crazy.
Right.
Stop it.
Yeah. Do it, Gerald. Do it.
I'm not doing it.
Do it, Gerald.
I don't
do
have
it.
The vocal range. You gotta give me a few days.
Do I?
You guys were singing it. You were belting it out. It was great.
Have
it
you heard me
sound
sing
good.
Train Machine Tuesday?
Oh, yeah.
You'd probably sound better than me even with half a voice. I'm just saying.
The good thing is, if we sung it, YouTube wouldn't be able to tag us for copyright
That's
infringement
right.
because you wouldn't be able to tell what song it was.
Fair.
Welcome in, everybody. We're happy to have you here. We got a lot of Sun stuff to talk about today. Maybe a few bones to pick. I don't know. Maybe some flowers to give out. We shall see. But first and foremost, Draymond Green is the latest player to share thoughts on the Robert Sarver situation. So he went on his podcast and shared that the punishment that was handed down is just not in line with what the NBA stands for. Let's hear more from Draymond.
I do think it's absolutely insane that Robert Sarver is just going to receive a 1-year ban and $10 million fine and just return to the sidelines next year and return to the building next year, it actually goes against everything that the NBA stands for. The NBA stands for inclusion. The NBA stands for diversity. The NBA definitely stands against bigotry and racism. And I commend Adam Silver, our commissioner, and the entire staff at the league office for the stands that they have taken over the years. I don't think there's been any other organization or league that supports their players like the NBA supports us. But for everything that the NBA stands against and stand for, this report that came out last week is the total opposite of everything that the NBA stands for. And so to think that someone like Robert Sarver that's acting in that manner can continue to represent us, that's bullshit. You can't continue to represent way more people than yourself with those views, with speaking to people the way he did, with treating African-Americans and women the way he has. That's not okay.
So that was a lot from Draymond, and I highly recommend listening to the entire podcast because obviously he did share more than just the minute and 30 second or so clip we were able to share with you guys. But within it, he also shared praise for the stands that the NBA and Adam Silver have taken over the years, but that this outcome fell short of what it should be. What do you guys feel about the way that Draymond addressed the situation?
Well, I think it's exactly what needed to be said and what needs to continue to be said. I mean, it died down over the weekend. It wasn't much going on yesterday with the situation, but Draymond brought it right back to the top of discussion, as did, to give them credit, ESPN Daily today as well went 38 minutes with Windhorse and Pablo Torre doing a deep dive into it as well. This discussion shouldn't end. Players should speak out like this. Draymond went as far to say, I'm asking there be a vote at where, which he said he also wants the results published, shared in what the owners vote. I think that definitely should be the case, that if the NBA should push for a vote of the owners, if that's the only way that the correct action in many people's minds can be, then that should take place and that vote should be made public so people know where you stand. Do you stand with the players? Do you stand with the employers, or do you stand with a fellow billionaire? And, you know, the disgraced future former owner of the Phoenix Suns deserves to have that happen and have those results be seen. We need to know where people stand on this from an ownership perspective.
Right. And that was the disappointing part of going back to Adam Silver's press conferences when he was asked, did you guys seriously consider removing Robert Sarver? And he said, no, it's a kind of complicated process to go about that. So it never even reached that stage. Okay, that's fine. But like, we need some transparency as far as whose side you're on, like who would vote to keep Robert Sarver in and why. And obviously the owners are never going to submit that type of information themselves. But if you're a player in this league and you're looking at the things that Robert Sarver has said, if you're a woman in sports who works for the league and you're looking at some of the things that Robert Sarver said and did during his time in charge, you want to know if your owner would actually have your back or not. If your owner is okay with someone being at their same level of ownership in the league, having done those things. Like, he brings up a very good point that this is not what the NBA says that it stands for, and yet they're willing to just suspend this guy for a year and then let him come back. Like, that's not having the players' backs. That's not having their employees' backs at all. So, yeah, let's see where you stand. Let's get a vote. Let's make these things more transparent and find out where you actually stand.
The interesting thing that was brought up is a lot of people compare this to the Donald Sterling situation, but the Donald Sterling situation never reached where the owners had to vote to remove him. Mm-hmm. His wife got him deemed incompetent and sold the team without his approval on it because she had power of attorney. That's how that ended. So revisionist history remembers that as Adam Silver saying he's out of the league and as if there was some vote, but there never was. Mm. So this could be a very unique situation where maybe we actually see the owners vote in one way or another on that issue. And I'd be very interested to see where it all lays out.
Yeah.
Bees in the chat said, this is why I like NBA players having the option to have media platforms to speak openly and call for accountability. Pretty cool by Draymond. And I agree entirely. I think this is one of the things that is so unique about just our world today is that we all have access to some sort of a public platform, if you will. And if you are somebody in a position of great popularity or limelight, you can use your voice to make a legitimate change around pretty much anything that you really put your mind to by just using it. And well, Draymond does that here perfectly. And I would love to see more people come out and say exactly what he said. I think if you see more players pushing ownership to take action instead of pushing the NBA to do more, then maybe it could help.
Yeah. And that brings me to a thought, and I'd love both of you to weigh in on this too, but to me, it feels like it's time for Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, as players to share their perspective in this conversation, because we've heard the players' union, Chris Paul, LeBron, now Draymond. And more importantly, I think it's time for Monty Williams and James Jones to say something. I don't feel like waiting a week until media day is the proper course of action here. I understand it in trying to get your ducks in a row, but to me, the sooner the better, I think, in terms of them speaking out and sharing their thoughts on the subject.
I understand what you're saying. I would like to hear from them in advance, but I do think there is a certain advantage to not just having your ducks in a row and coordinating with everyone, tackling it as a team. How do we want to approach this as a team on a public front? But also the national organized audience that they're going to have on Monday, because as much as tweeting something out is going to grab attention, and it's something that I was happy that Chris Paul did, it's also like, by not saying anything until media day, they're going to have everyone's gaze. They're going to have everyone's attention. They're going to have that national spotlight. And if they do take advantage of that, I think that could be a powerful moment. If they don't, it's going to be a huge disappointment. If they go with the just, we're going to stick to basketball type thing, that's going to be a huge disappointment. And I will share your kind of your sentiment that they should have said something. But I don't know what approach they're going to take. So until I hear what they have to say, I understand waiting until they have all the national cameras on them, all the local coverage fixated on them to make their statement.
I get it. But I want the impassioned plea, like Draymond's was coming from the heart. This is what I think. This is what I feel. This wasn't, I ran it through six PR people. Here's the perfectly polished response that I think we need to have. Like,
I don't think that's what they're doing though.
I hope it's not, because I don't want to hear that, whether it's, we're just here to focus on basketball and it's a very polished, or we stand together and for employees. I want to hear passionate. This is what I believe. This is why it's not right. If that's the way they so choose to speak. And I think that has more impact when you get it like that.
No, and I totally agree. But I don't think it's a matter of running it through PR. I think it's more of, this team has always approached things having a team discussion. Like, it's always been Monty asking the players what they want to do, how they want to tackle something. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case here. And do we even know if everyone is in Phoenix yet at this point? Because Devin Booker was on tour, you know, shooting shots during a Jack Harlow concert like a few nights ago. So I don't know if anyone's intent. Not to say that should take precedence at all.
Jared, there's these things called cell phones or airplanes.
I understand that. But when they're jet setting like that, you know that they're not on the same schedule that you or I are on.
No, agreed. In many ways, Gerald. In many ways.
I see both of y'all's points on this situation. I do think there's a way that you could have done both, right? You could have put out a statement like Chris Paul did and then take some time, put out a curated statement, right? That allows you the opportunity to really pick and choose your words when you do it in a written format. And then take some time over the next handful of days and weeks before media day to really formulate your thoughts to say out loud. Because that's always the hardest part of things like this, is that if you take time to really write out what you want to get across, sometimes it's a lot easier than to say those words out loud without fumbling, without being misunderstood or misspeaking or anything of that sort. And I think if you do both, it's even more impactful.
Yeah. And maybe, again, speculation, but maybe they thought the Chris Paul statement along with the Players Association statement was enough until media day to make a larger statement together. And so be it. It's another week. And do you lose the impactfulness? Is there, I don't know. I think people just want to have their faith rewarded in something right now. And I think that's what they're waiting for.
For sure. And I understand that, again, but I do think there is a certain power to nobody knowing what they're going to do or say. And if they have a plan of action, if they have something, a definitive statement that they're going to come out with on Monday, I think it will be more powerful and more impactful if they don't tip their hand in advance. And if they show a united front and do it together, I think that makes a stronger stance. Not that I'm saying that I know that this is happening or that it's going to happen. I hope that it does. There's a chance that this all could just be they're not saying anything because they're not going to say anything, which would be majorly disappointing for all of us. But at the same time, there is that advantage of waiting until that moment when everyone's going to be watching to make your statement, make your stance. And we should also note that, like, it's easy for us to say they should come forward and say something now when we don't know what they're deliberating behind the scenes. And they are the ones that, if they are going to sit out games or take an even stronger stance or whatever, they're probably A, having those conversations now behind the scenes, and B, they're the ones bearing the brunt of that risk. So yeah, it's easy for us to sit here and pontificate about what they should or should not be doing. But at the same time, like, this doesn't affect our livelihood if they do something like that.
Technically it does if they don't play games.
Well, yeah, I guess
it does kind of, but
we'll still come up with some stuff. No, don't worry.
I understand that point, and I think that's fair. And quite frankly, the most impactful thing they could do is all of them not showing up to media day and calling their own media day somewhere else, saying we refuse to participate in this until some action's taken. That would be more impactful than anything that you could do with an online statement, for sure, or a guest spot on some show. So you're right there. I mean, there is some power in it. And I think impatience is part of this, right? Because it was almost a full year after the initial article came out. And then now the report that justified it. I think that's part of this, is it feels like this has been a forever kind of thing.
I also think that it being dragged out this long, it starts to, like, doubt starts to creep into your mind, right? Are we sure they're even going to say anything at all? Mm-hmm. How am I going to feel? How are these people who were harmed in this situation going to feel if Chris Paul's tweet is the only thing we get? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's what, like, this time, this couple of weeks in between, I think that's creating more chaos and uncertainty and anxiety in a lot of people's minds, because it's like, if that happens, I don't even know how I'm going to feel.
Well, I mean, it's Chris Paul's statement is all we've gotten from the players. We get the team lawyers basically say, and the disgraced lawyers saying, oh, we were vindicated. That's, and only one sponsor has had the intestinal fortitude to stand up and say, we don't want to be involved in this. That's where the doubt creeps in. That's why, there's a lot of different things here. And I get it from a lot of fans why that would be such a big deal. I do want to bring up one other thing. We talked about kind of player empowerment and the ability to be able to speak out and say whatever that's on your mind. And Draymond used that for good here. And one of our girthlings in the chat said something to the extent of, oh, Draymond, the guy who, kicks people and da da da. Sometimes it doesn't matter who the messenger is if the message is on point. That was the case here. But the downside of this players having this open forum is what we saw with Anthony Edwards. He says something that winds up being, you know, is a, you know, derogatory towards, you know, the LGBTQ community. And he only gets a $40,000 fine today. And the NBA doesn't even mention what it's for. You know, they just say, you know, derogatory comments. That's not acceptable either. Like, I don't want anybody to think this is one side of the fence kind of thing. But the difference is he's not in charge of multiple people. He was not doing this to a subordinate. This was not a pattern over 20 years. What you hope is Anthony Edwards, being a very young man in Minnesota, has this happen and learns the error of his ways, you know, and changes in his approach, and then doesn't have 20 years of evidence later on of repeating the same kind of behavior. And I saw that a lot on, like, well, if you say this, you got to say it about that Minnesota Timberwolves play.
Well, right. Not only that, but there was a comment in the chat that said there's not much outcry about that incident. And then also the Miles Bridges situation. I don't know what your timeline looks but that was nothing but outcry for many, many days after both of those situations happened on my timeline. So maybe just expand the following a little bit more to reach people who are speaking out about these type of things. And no, we didn't talk about those two things on this particular show because we typically try to stay majority Suns related or general NBA stuff that could in some way affect the Suns. Occasionally we do get a little outside the realm of Suns related topics, but typically we don't.
Right.
But rest assured that everyone on this entire group, everyone in this entire company does not agree and thinks that both those situations were atrocious as well.
He shouldn't play another game in the NBA.
Miles Bridges should be banned from this league and 100%.
But don't get it twisted. Just because we feel that way about, you know, what Anthony Edwards did, what Miles Bridges did, which are very separate things, I'm not here for the whataboutism either, because that's what this they continually be brought up, like, as a shifting away from the Sarver conversation. All of these things can be true at the same time. Yep. And just because we're not talking about Anthony Edwards and Miles Bridges, who have no affiliation with the Suns, which this is a Suns podcast, does not mean that we feel one way or the other. Yep. Like, we're all pretty united in how we feel about what Anthony Edwards said, and definitely about what Miles Bridges did and what the punishment should be for those types of things.
Well, and the reason why a lot of these people didn't see the outcry is because they don't care. They're just throwing that out as,
right,
well, here, what, you know, like you said, what about ism? What about this? It's not the same thing. So,
and to be quite honest with you, I personally would not be able to talk about every single terrible thing that somebody associated with the NBA did on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Like, my mental health cannot handle that.
No.
So if it's not Suns related, like, this last week took a major toll on all of us. If it's not Suns related, I quite literally cannot handle talking about all of those things on a regular basis on this show, because I would have a complete and utter breakdown. Mm-hmm. Like, I just can't.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way. It's just a lot. But I digress. This was great to hear from Draymond. We are still going to sit and wait and see what else comes down the pipelines. Hopefully we'll hear something from the Suns at Media Day or see something. And of course, we'll keep you posted if anything else kind of comes to light in the next handful of days between these two moments. Okay, I need a break. So I'm going to tell you guys about this really cool thing that happened to our friend Derek here at PHNX last night.
I don't know if I'm happy or jealous.
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I'm super jealous. Are you kidding me? Derek won, what was it, $1,000? Derek won $1,000 on Underdog Fantasy yesterday, and I'm super jealous because I think it was like a $50.
It was a $50 bet. Yeah,
a $50 entry or whatever, and he won $1,000, you guys. I'm so jealous, and if you are not familiar with Underdog, let me tell you about it, because it is the easiest and most fun way to spice up your football season. Underdog Fantasy and their Pick'em game. So basically, you just look for your favorite or your least favorite player's stats. You pick between 2 and 5 players for your pick'em entry. And whether you think they'll end up with either a higher or lower total than that stat in this week's game. And if you get all your picks right, like Derek did yesterday, you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of fun. makes watching games even more enjoyable. And then you just get to like brag and flex on your friends a little bit with your pick'ems when you post about it on social media.
I couldn't allow Derek to have all the fun. So I have a chance to win $5,000 tonight.
Oh, wow.
On the
$5,000
tonight.
Oh, my
on the
gosh.
Underdog Fantasy app. And I had already won $500 a week ago. So I'm letting some of that ride to see if I can win $5,000 on the higher or lower pitch count totals on five guys tonight in Major League Baseball. So Derek's not the only one that's going to win some cash here. $5,000. It's coming.
I hope you win all of it. I would be a little bit upset if you won all of it, mostly just because I'll be honest. It's jealousy for sure.
Right.
Because I feel like you've hit big on quite a few of our sponsor sites lately.
You gotta live large if you wanna win large.
How many Monroe's hot chicken is that, Gerald?
Oh, that's so many.
It's like what, probably 15?
Yeah, 10 bucks each.
If I win $5,000 tonight, Monroe's chicken for you.
Yes, let's go, Espo. Now I'm invested.
What does Lindsay get?
Oh boy.
Beanie for Lindsay.
Yes.
What do I get?
Yes.
Mustache wax for Shane.
I already have that.
Extra mustache wax for Shane.
I'll take it.
You can search in the App Store or click the link in our show notes to find Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up with the promo code PHNX, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. So you guys get even more money to have some fun with. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code PHNX. To get in on the action today. Also, we joked about this yesterday. Espo didn't find it funny, but Shane did. Herm Edwards is officially out. ASU has a new coach. And if you guys come out to our Four Peaks tailgate this Saturday, you can either celebrate or commiserate with like-minded people. And $50 will get you access to an all-you-can-eat buffet, two Four Peaks beers, and a free ride to the stadium, plus our PHNX Sun Devil guys, all three of them who are hanging out behind the cameras right now, making funny faces at us, are going to be there. They're going to be playing cornhole, Jenga, Connect Four. I think they're the giant ones, right? All these games?
No, they're actually super mini.
Oh, even better.
Extra tiny.
Even better.
I'm going to try to get a beer bong for us, too.
This could be like a double win because you guys could serve some of those boys some L's and then also have a great time at Four Peaks.
Guess who else is going to be out there?
Are you going to be out there?
This guy's going to be out there, too.
Is Gerald going to be there?
I might make an appearance.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not sure my liver will thank me, but I will be out there having fun.
Espo, you want to do a shoey?
Does it have to be your shoe?
No, it can be yours. We can both do our own shoes.
Yeah, well, I'll see what I can do.
I may
bring an extra shoe. I don't want to walk around with that beer-soaked shoe.
But. If we get three people to come up to us and cite this clip, I will do a shoey for you.
Oh, man. Three? That's
deal.
It?
You do it out of
the shoe that you're wearing?
Yes.
That's disgusting.
I'm disgusting. I'm a dirty little pig boy, Lindsay.
I really hope three of you guys listening right now go do that and please record it and send it to me because I need to see it. Click the link in our show notes to sign up. Just a reminder, you do have to be 21 years or older to drink Four Peaks beer, and we ask that you enjoy responsibly. Like, maybe not from a shoe, but, you know, whatever.
You can do a shoey responsibly.
Can you?
Yeah, you can get...
You're drinking it out of a dirty shoe.
Well,
at that point,
it doesn't have to be a dirty
responsible.
Shoe. If you do it not out of a dirty shoe, then it's responsible.
You're going to ruin a pair of clean shoes?
Well, you know, Gerald, shut up, Gerald.
I may go to Walmart and buy a shoe. So it's not out of my actual dirty shoe.
Oh, it's so gross. Okay, anyway, let's move on before I literally throw up here. Bleacher Report has started its, quote, contenders or pretenders conversation for teams around the league. And dun, 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 the Suns have officially been dubbed a pretender.
Surprise, surprise.
Now listen. They did share arguments for both sides. You guys want me to tell you what their arguments were?
Yeah, no, I don't want to hear any shitty arguments about why this team's a pretender.
Oh, what about what about a contender?
Go ahead.
You want to hear those arguments?
Sure. Let's hear them.
Okay, on the contender side of the argument, they said no team won more than the Suns 64 games last season.
Factual.
The core remains largely unchanged.
True.
Devin Booker could make a case as a top 10 player this year if Chris Paul's workload is managed well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Maybe. Yeah. Maybe he takes a bigger step. CP takes a step back.
I don't think you need both of those things. I think you could take that step without CP3's minutes being managed.
I guess maybe not
better.
If was the word, especially yeah.
Oh, okay.
Was the word.
There we go. There you go. I agree with that.
Dario Saric's return will be a nice boost.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Hopefully. Yes. And guys like DA, Cam J, and Mikel should, in theory, get better.
Yeah.
You're saying Cam Johnson, not Cam and Jay.
No, Cam okay. Johnson.
Because Jay ain't getting better. He ain't going to be here.
So. Cam
oh
J.
Oh, boy.
So that was the contender argument. You want to hear the pretender
yeah,
side of things?
Let's hear it.
So they said they asked quite a few questions. Okay. Can the Suns really repeat a plus 33.4 clutch time net rating again?
Yes.
Okay. Even though that it was more than double any other NBA team last year?
Yes.
You really think they can do it again?
Yes.
Okay. Will DA be happy in Phoenix?
Yes. He's got millions of dollars to make him happy.
Okay.
Max, yes.
Can they shake off the Game 7 collapse?
Yes, because it was COVID that was the problem, not the Game 7. Okay.
How long can CP3 keep up his all-star form?
It depends. Is he going to Germany to get that blood-spinning thing that Kobe used to do?
Okay. And will the summer Kevin Durant rumors have any effect on this locker room?
No, because who gives a shit?
Okay, well, their conclusion is completely opposite of yours, Espo, because they said the Suns are still going to be very good. Okay, at least we're all in agreement there.
Mm-hmm.
But the Ayton situation feels far from settled. Chris Paul is destined for some decline. A title window that was open the past 2 years could be closing if this roster doesn't make a trade. Agree or disagree?
Go ahead, Espo. You go first, because I know you've got lots to say.
I just... Why? Because they didn't get Kevin Durant, all of a sudden a window's closing here? Like, DA gets paid and yet everybody assumes there's still some giant animosity? Like, there's a lot of just assumption right now with the Suns club. And it feels like over the last 2.5 years, people just want to try to find the crack, the flaw, the reason why they're fake. They're not real. They're pretenders. And each time they've proven it wrong. So I'm not going to give up on this because it seems like the en vogue thing to do. They've proven everybody wrong multiple times. I'm not going to freak out yet.
I'm going to take the opposite position. And it's not because I don't think the Suns are contenders, but I do think... Like, we shouldn't be surprised. Like, we should not be surprised at all, because throughout their finals run, people took the stance of continually pointing out, well, this player was out and this player was out and Jamal Murray and Kawhi Leonard and all this other shit. And then last year, they stormed through the league, 64 wins, and got absolutely embarrassed. That may have been one of the most embarrassing playoff losses in NBA history, not just in Phoenix Suns history, which it easily was. But in NBA history, I cannot remember a team that was expected to compete for a championship absolutely shitting the bed in game 7 of a second round playoff series quite like that. I've never seen anything like that. And like, you throw in the fact that, you know, Chris Paul's declining. Yeah, there's a ton of offseason drama between the way the whole DA thing unraveled, the Robert Sarver thing, Jay Crowder now. Like, I'm not surprised that people are labeling us as pretenders at all. And I think they're fair to do so until we prove them otherwise in a playoff series. I think that they're contenders, but I don't think it's unfair to label them that way right now.
You're lucky you clarified, because I was ready to unload.
I know you were.
But I'm glad
you were gearing up.
Look, I get that. I understand why you'd look at it, but I'd also argue that Game 7 loss was that battle scar that many of these young guys never had experienced in the playoffs, that in a lot of ways you need before you actually are a true contender. Mm-hmm. So,
and we've talked about that. We think this could be an instance where a young team that's trying to get over that championship hump takes its lumps and gets better for it. Like, every great championship dynasty or team in the past has had a similar moment like that, where they look back on and like, that made us better, even though it sucked. Mm-hmm. I think that could be this for the Suns. But I do understand why people outside of Phoenix look at us as a team that kind of maybe missed its best window to win a title.
Lindsay's already sick of this.
You know what? I'll say this. At least on this same list, they have the Grizzlies listed as pretenders. It really bothers me that they've got the Nuggets listed as contenders.
Mm-hmm.
But the Heat are in here as pretenders as well. So I think I would be more pissed If they had the Grizzlies as contenders and the Suns as pretenders, I think I'd be more pissed because it seems like those two teams seem to get lumped together quite a bit just because of the nature of how they kind of both the trajectory both of them were on and the timeline and everything.
Right.
So I feel a little better knowing that at least they're not just straight up throwing shade at the Suns. I do question if the Suns will be able to pull off those clutch time minute performances last year because some of them were legitimately like historic feeling kind of moments, right? Not something that's easily repeatable.
Right.
I do think the Game 7 meltdown can create a little bit of a, not necessarily a chemistry issue, but just an uncertainty. Maybe it questions your trust in your teammates a little bit in those big time moments. I don't think I would rate them fully as pretenders, though.
Right.
Is there a category in the middle? Can I ride the fence?
It's the prove it category. Because I feel like what they're saying by labeling us pretenders is not all that different from what we said at the end of the regular season when we said this team could win 75 games next year and we wouldn't give a shit unless it comes with a title at the end. Like, don't talk to us until it's playoff time.
Yeah, but pretender is such a harsh word. I mean, I get it. I'm talking about the word context itself, not the meaning behind it, Gerald.
Yeah.
Nobody reads these things for the meaning behind it.
I mean, if I had to wager, I would say they're a contender, but I understand they are in a prove it category. Like, this time, it's prove it time right now.
Aren't 29 teams in a prove it category if you didn't win last year?
For sure.
I mean, I guess, but maybe not the Bucks because they won 2 years ago.
That's fair. If you have a recent title, mate. So, 28, 27 teams in that,
roughly,
in that prove it category.
There.
You know what I like, though? Yeah. Dallas doesn't even make their list. They're not worth telling you if they're a contender or a pretender. They're just not on the list. So
I'm sure they'll eventually come
out. I'm petty as
which I don't know.
But they didn't make it in part one.
Right.
So
I don't know if that makes me feel better or worse about what happened last
year. Do you think there's a part two to this where
what
it just
if they
gets
do
down
every
to,
single team?
Where it just gets down to no, pretender. Like,
yeah, no, those are
the Kings.
I don't think there's a part two on that.
That you don't? Like, not at all?
Well, no, because contender, pretender is normally just for, like, the top teams that could be in the
Okay,
combo.
Well, at least we're in the top teams conversation.
The next one, shitty or really shitty? Let's try it out.
We went from expecting a title to at least we're in the contender and pretenders article.
We made it! We made it, Mom! We're in the contender and pretender article. Oh,
listen, man. We've been through it, you guys. I'm going to grasp on to whatever we can hold on to, okay?
Yeah.
Count our blessings. Be thankful we're not the Sun Kings anymore, okay?
Speaking of contenders and pretenders, we talked about, this is a total audible, you don't expect this.
Oh boy.
But we talked about this on yesterday's show, our hashtag voting.
Oh dear God.
We took such a beating for those four. So right now, I'm going to ask you in the chat, this is simple, only you get a vote because screw anybody else that's not watching right now. Sorry if you watch later.
We still love you.
Should we make Valley Owned our hashtag this year? It was one that didn't make the list, but came up in conversation. Tell us in the chat if you want that one. As in fans own this team, Valley Owned.
So I'm assuming, did we explain the hashtags on the show?
We took a beat.
Well, I said them out loud.
We took a beat down, though. People were like, can we get a better list? These suck. What?
So, yeah, I mean, if you could come up with a better list,
feel
free.
That's what we said. And then I inadvertently came up with my own potential better option that people liked in
Valley
Owned.
I don't think people even like this one either.
Valley Owned?
Yeah.
My favorite is still Unhappy on the Farm because I feel like it encapsulates where we all are right now. But, I mean, if you guys can come up with better, please.
How about just hashtag the disgraced?
Disgrace, Jesus Christ.
No. That's so I'm done. We don't need a hashtag. Let's just watch basketball.
That's
there
so
we go.
Negative.
Let's just watch basketball. That's the hashtags.
Oh, man.
Marky, thank you for being so kind with your words.
Maybe keep trying,
but it's not a bad idea.
Hashtag pretenders.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm glad we're all in such a
I would like
great mind state.
I want something kind of vague, like hashtag sports or hashtag basketball. So you can just put that at the end of every single tweet.
Hashtag sport. There we go.
Oh, boy.
I ain't mad at that. Let's do it. I just hope you have fun.
Hashtag no title. We don't have one. No title.
That's mean. I don't know. We'll go back to the drawing board.
No, I'm done. You people don't deserve a hashtag. You get no hashtag.
Oh, boy. Well, we don't get a hashtag, but you guys can get some really good deals last minute on tickets if you use Game Time. It is the hottest new ticket site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. You can save up to 60% on tickets when you buy tickets last minute. So it's great for procrastinators out there or those who like to be spontaneous and just plan at the drop of a hat. It's a really great option. And if you love PHNX, then you'll love Game Time. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description. Also, Eswell, you told us one time that they have like insurance almost, if you will, yeah, right?
110% back if you find a cheaper ticket.
Yeah. So you really can't go wrong when you use Game Time.
What you could do is you buy them on Game Time, go to a third-party selling site, list them at a lower... No, I'm just kidding. that would make... That's just a lot of work.
That's a lot of work.
S was like, listen, I got all the deals for you, all the loopholes. Let me just say.
No, but honestly, Game Time is great even for concerts and stuff. You don't need to, worry about, oh, am I going to get the best deal? Oh, are tickets available? You go there, you hit it up. I think I'm going to buy my ticket, my wife some tickets to Mark Broussard, who's coming in November on there. There's just a lot of good options. So check it out.
Okay. So far we've got hashtag transition, hashtag enjoy the journey, hashtag prove it, hashtag don't need no stinking hashtag. I like that one.
How about hashtag Lindsay's trapped in the transformation center? We just go with the world's longest hashtag. I kind of like prove it.
Yeah,
never mind. Nope.
Hashtag window wide open. Hashtag Death Valley. Flaming ballers.
That's an old reference to an old podcast.
Oh, so. I see. Oh. Well, hashtag Death Valley. Keep on coming, you guys. Oh, God. Hashtag, how did Gen Z use hashtags? That's a great question.
All right.
I don't know, but you know, maybe here, Espo, I got a plan for you. Tonight, this is your homework, okay? Okay. You're going to go home tonight. You're going to dabble in some OGs. You're going to zen out. You're going to do some meditation. You're going to free your mind, your creative thoughts, and then it'll just come to you like a light bulb. It'll be like one of those moments where like the gates of heaven open up and you hear that angelic music. Oh, and it's like, there it is.
Hashtag.
There it is.
What? That would be like the worst epiphany ever. That all I got out of it was, here's a hashtag that people might like. Or will likely crap on you for. Why do I keep getting homework on this show? I've got to design a shoe. I've got to get high and come up with a hashtag.
Because somebody's got to do it. And Lord knows Gerald and I are not.
You poor thing. Sounds like a lot of work.
It is. It's just,
he has to get high.
Bless his heart.
Come up with a hashtag. Right?
It's difficult stuff.
Oh.
I mean, as you could tell, people hate really hard. Like,
yeah.
Well, it's because you didn't have the OGs included in it. I think that's why. To be fair, Gerald and I came up with two of those first four.
Yeah.
That wasn't you guys hated me. As well.
Hashtag suck it.
I'm still sticking. I don't know.
If you guys really want to help with this creative process, you could also get your hands on some OGs by entering our Flavoring Life sweepstakes, where one lucky winner will receive 3 bags of OGs, including their orange creamsicle and tropical flavors, an OGs hat, a PHNX shirt of your choice, and a PHNX annual membership. You can sign up at gophnx.com or click the link in our show notes. Or if you want to be like really fast with your homework and not wait until the end of the month to see if you won the Flavoring Life sweepstakes, you can always go online at ogsbrands.com, Instagram at ogsbrands to find some OGs products, or you can find them at your local dispensary. But just a reminder, you do have to be 21 years or older to purchase. Okay. Shall we move on to the next topic?
Okay.
Shall we move on to the next topic?
Yes, sure.
Okay. We've got the first part of the ESPN's NBA rank. Mm-hmm. Now, this is obviously where they rank the top 100 players in the league. And today we got 100 through 26.
Mm-hmm.
And we got 2 guys on there.
We do.
DeAndre Ayton is ranked 51st and Mikal Bridges is 49th.
Yeah, but ESPN chose violence.
Did they?
Yeah. How is Cam Johnson not a top 100 player? I think he's better than Kevin Love that's in there. Mm-hmm. I think he's better than Seth Curry at this point. Like, I get it. Kevin Love has a long resume that maybe comes into play there. But, Keegan Murray's already ranked. Adam hasn't done anything in the NBA at 95. Like, I think Cam Johnson deserves to be like 99, 100. He's a top 100 player.
I agree with you. There's one that really bothers me that's on the list, and I'm sorry, but putting Russell Westbrook as the 65th best player in the NBA is fucking insane.
He's
to me.
Not even the second best point guard on his team right now.
That's insane. So I would have Cam Johnson in the top 100, but I am interested in what you guys think about Mikhail and DA's placement there, because I think there was some surprise when the rankings came out that obviously they're very close in the ranking, but that Mikhail is ahead of DA.
Well, DA's expectations are to be a superstar, right? Because he was taken number one. So he's never living up to those when you go into these lists, first off. And then you put in Mikhail being second in defensive player of the year voting. I get it. Do I agree with it? Probably not. I think DA is a better overall player right now, not by leaps and bounds, but he probably should be in the mid 40s if you're putting Mikhail at 49. But it's the optics, I think, with this one for sure.
I was kind of surprised as well. I think it's close, obviously, especially when you take into account defensive impact. But that's not to say that DA is a defensive slouch either, because he's the second most important player in their defense behind Mikhail. But it is interesting that Mikhail jumped from 66 last year to 49 this year, and DA dropped from 35 last year to 51 this year.
That's kind of a drastic drop.
I thought that was interesting.
Well, you got to take into consideration when they did this list, he was coming off that playoff run that, without him, they don't make the finals. He was dominant in a lot of ways in that run. So, and this time he's coming off of a really pedestrian showing in that Dallas series. The fact that nobody really showed a lot of interest in him on the free agent market, all those kind of things come into play here.
Yeah.
In the end, it's some guy sitting in a room throwing names up there in the top 100 and shuffling people around. Yeah. Like, it's not overly scientific on this, but
right.
So perception plays a huge role in it.
Well, yeah. And Mikhail got a lot of love last year, obviously, for what he brought defensively to this team. Not just from people who watch Suns games on a regular basis, but from actual national media personalities as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that probably plays into this a little bit. And as much as you want to say like that doesn't skew the opinion of whoever is putting these rankings together, it absolutely will.
100%.
The same way though with like Russell Westbrook, even though they will claim that this is based off of last year's performance and projected performances of this upcoming season, you're never going to completely not include some of the historic moments of somebody's career. Like, well, that you're going to take that into consideration a little bit.
Well, and some of it is bias that some people probably think, oh, Russell Westbrook will have a bounce back year. That was a blip, not something that is indicative of future performance. That impacts things too. I don't agree with that.
Have you been watching him the last 5 years?
Yeah. I mean, literally, he's the third best point guard on the Lakers right now.
Yeah, that's tough.
JC brings up a good point, too, that Game 7 ruined DA's reputation the most on the Suns, and it's very unfair. That could have held some weight as far as when people were talking about where DA falls on this.
Well, yeah, I think it's a big reason why they're like, whoa, can DA be happy? Is that situation over? Right. Because he outwardly yelled with his coach, right?
Right.
I'm going to pull back the curtain. I've yelled at Saul before here, not on the program, when we're discussing business things, because people get passionate about stuff, and sometimes that passion comes out in situations. That's what happened in Game 7. Like, I don't think there could be more as well, but I think that's a big part of it is that was probably one of the worst professional moments for both of those guys. And a lot of anger comes out in those kind of times.
Mm-hmm. Right, but you just said the difference is you didn't do it on the program.
No, I yell at Saul on the program all the time.
Well, but
I was just
like
making
that.
It clear that I yelled at him in the right. office as well, not just on the show. So
right, no, I get it.
Would you like me to do it on the show?
No, I'm just
next
saying. I'm just saying that's the difference. Is one is in private and one was in front of millions of people. That's the difference.
Yeah. Well, if the camera wasn't on them, it wouldn't have. Just in front of 28.
It's the damn camera's fault.
It is
for being on.
Damn you, ESPN or TNT, whichever it was on.
Do you know who's sandwiched in between Mikhail and DA?
I do.
I don't remember. But
one Jamal Murray from the Denver.
If only we had Jamal Murray, we'd have three guys in a row on the list.
You know who's in front of just one spot in front of Mikhail?
The Suns and four guy?
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Whoa, future Phoenix Sun.
Future Phoenix Sun.
Look, Jamal Murray being ranked that high after being gone from public view for almost 2 years is asinine to me. But again, it's just some dude making a list. Right. So
these rankings live for making us mad.
That is the sole purpose. They do this because they know we'll talk about it and our heads will explode because our guy wasn't ranked where we thought. So
they're winning.
I'm announcing here and now. I'm going to do the top 100 media people.
Oh shit!
No, I'm just kidding. I will not.
I would kind of be interested in that.
I think I would hate having to make a list like this.
I have fun. In the past when I would do lists like these, I had fun with it. But people get so angry about a certain player being ahead of a certain player that it's just not worth it at a certain point. Like, if you want to have an honest discussion with me, that's cool. But, people get so up in arms about it.
Yeah, I don't mind an honest discussion when you put it together. And in a lot of cases, and I joke that, oh, it's just some guy. There's usually a methodology to it as well. So you can kind of defend some of what's going on in it. But, I mean, it is cumbersome to rank 100 of anything. It's not easy.
Right, it's 30 different teams.
Yeah.
And you're basically ranking.
I mean, just look at the three of us arguing about fruit. Now, could you imagine three people who are passionate about a team or a league arguing about that?
We would argue about how to rank the three of us.
This
just
would take
here.
Us 100 days to rank 100 players.
Could you? We'd argue for a week on the four best hosts on PHNX Suns and what rank they go in, let alone 100 people.
Can't believe she took Mangoes number one. That's crazy.
Mangoes are bomb.
By the way, I took some heat when I went home.
We never shared that graphic.
Yeah, we will. You know what we should start doing is putting the poll in the YouTube and letting the live voters vote on who had the best.
Yeah, we should do that near the end of the show. Yeah.
Because to hell with all these people on Twitter that keep telling me I suck. So
I just don't understand. Charles said, shaking my head, terrible. Apples didn't go top three. Apples are not a top three fruit.
No.
They're just not.
No. It's not even a top three juice.
Apples are definitely a top 15 fruit, though.
Yes, they
Maybe.
Are.
Maybe.
Bananas are, too. I'm so mad about the Nanners.
Shane, I was torn between bananas and apples near the end.
I apologize. I overlooked bananas. I will admit that.
You all have overlooked the banana.
Bananas are a top 15 fruit.
No, they're not.
Yes, they
are. Oh, my God. End the show.
Put them on Cheerios. Sugar. That's some good shit.
Anyway,
did you guys know that right now new customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do?
I did. No fake social security numbers, though.
That's over at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. And if that's not enough, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. So right now, for every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100%. With payouts bigger than ever, why bet on football anywhere else?
Football.
I mean, honestly, that's a great question. Why would you do that? And to make things even sweeter,
it's
you
like
can throw down on
stepped up. I know, I was like, am I supposed to respond?
Once per game day, all season long.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's a lot of stuff.
That is. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
That's a lot.
I mean, literally, it's like DraftKings is just wanting to give you money.
DraftKings want to give you money.
They do, but only when you use the promo code PHNX.
PHNX,
because that promo code gets you access to a lot of these cool things.
Oh, yes,
and
it does.
It helps us out as well.
It does.
So it's
keep
literally
the lights on.
A win-win mm-hmm. situation.
I love that Lindsay started to go really slow, full well knowing that ASU needs a studio. And she's like, I'm just going to make them sweat.
I'm here for a good time. That's all. Just here for a great time.
And a long time.
Time code that there.
Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. I am officially done doing picks of the week for a hot minute because it was a garbage pick. Mm-hmm. Espo, do you have a pick of the week over on the DraftKings Sportsbook app?
I'm going to say this. Pick ASU this weekend.
Okay.
ASU money line?
Take the money line.
Ooh. Daddy.
Bet on the, hey, we're excited that one guy left and this new guy's here. They'll get that one bounce back win before things return to status quo.
We have a good hashtag. You want to know our hashtag?
What's that?
Hashtag why not us?
There's plenty of reason for that.
No, there ain't.
go look at the film against Eastern Michigan, and that's one of them. But I will give them the moral victory, the bounce back. We're excited win against Utah this weekend.
I don't think that's a bad bet because usually you do have like a little extra added boost of energy and a little bit of frustration.
Yeah. And if you want to hear the conversation around why you would, you can hear it in 4 minutes on the PHNX Centerville show.
More like 10 because we're not out of here yet.
Yeah, I'm not done. Stop rushing me, Shane. I don't appreciate it.
Get me out of here. I got to be on Locked On soon.
I will play the baby.
Get out!
I will play the baby noises.
Baby noises.
That was a good one, Gerald.
Thank you. I had to do it.
Okay. Thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate you. We will see you tomorrow, 2 p.m. right here on our YouTube channel. Same time as always. Of course, if you can't join us live, you can always find us on your favorite podcast platform. Just make sure you rate, review, and subscribe because it helps us a lot. Also, before you leave, make sure you hit that like button on YouTube. It helps a whole bunch. Until we see you next time, you can follow me on Twitter at LindsaySmithAZ. You can follow Gerald at Gerald Bourget.
It's Brittany, bitch.
Heyo. He did it,
call
you guys.
Back joke.
He did it, you guys.
Call back joke.
And of course, you can follow Espo at Espo. Espo, take us home.
Adam Silver, NBA. You have 358 days left to take care of your disgraced future former owner of the Phoenix Suns problem. Ahoy, ahoy. Pass the ball, we here to turn up the tempo. Got to understand me, I'll always rep the family. Rally in the valley like Dan G, no plan B. Always on the job, my team move like the mob. Turn the beat on, I throw it down like DA on the lob. Best combo since KJ, Marley, and Charles. If you squad, just sit in on the chat, get involved. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.